St. John chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth." Talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about the Spirit of God. And it doesn't really matter to me which words are used, whether you call Him the Spirit or whether you call Him the Holy Ghost. It's still the same to me. Amen. And I'm glad that we have got this Comforter living and abiding within us. Everyone that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost has got that Spirit of truth living within their heart. And the great benefit of that is that He is able to guide us in situations that we're unaware of. He's able to lead us and to sometimes to restrain us. Now, there are many agents that the Lord uses in order to restrain, but one of the most wonderful agents that He uses to restrain is the Holy Ghost and His influence in our life. And that's what I like to preach on tonight, the beautiful restrainer. Amen. The beautiful restrainer. And I'm glad for restraints. I mean to tell you, I'm glad that when I see a green light, that somebody else has a red light. And that red light, brother, is to restrain the traffic, or to let the traffic at least know that it needs to stop, because something's going to happen if it doesn't. Now, a lot of folks don't like any type of restraint whatsoever, but I'm glad for restraint. I'm tickled to have restraint, especially in a world that we do not see. I mean, we're in a spiritual warfare, and we do not see the things that are out ahead of us, and nor are we capable of understanding those things. There are forces at work right now, and if it weren't for the wonderful Holy Ghost, what would we do? I remember when I was 14 and just gave my heart to the Lord, and I got saved in a little Free Will Baptist church. But I knew that I needed a little more of God than I experienced at salvation. The salvation experience identified me, and we was identified with Him. But there was a power that I needed, and especially when the Lord called me to preach, and I was 14 years old and mowing grass for a living, amen, to support myself, amen. The Holy Ghost would deal with me, and I knew that I needed that wonderful, that beautiful restrainer in my life. If I were to live for Him and be able to follow in His footsteps in a world when I had no parents that were saved, no family that were saved, no other guidance whatsoever, but the beautiful restrainer came into my life, and I'm glad that He did. I'm glad that He's able to correct us when we're veering off the way that we need to be on. I'm glad that the beautiful restrainer is there. Amen. Well, the Bible says this beautiful restrainer in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And He searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." You see, there are many times that we pray, and we pray for those things that we think are the will of God, and we pray for those things that we might like to enjoy. But you know what it takes? It takes the Spirit of God praying through us, interceding for us on our behalf in those times where we're in a gray area, in those times when the fog seems to be so thick and things seems to be unclear. We need the Spirit of God, that beautiful restrainer, to lead us and to guide us and to teach us all things. Amen. I'm glad for restraint. I really am. We was doing some work this week, putting in a kitchen for a fella, and I noticed all these white flags out in his yard. And I thought, well, he's getting an early start on lawn treatment or something, because he's got all these little white flags out. And then noticed our neighbor across the road from us, they got all these white flags. And I thought, Man, that's an unusual fashion. I mean, it just kind of circles the whole perimeter of the yard. What was the need of that? But I found out that those little white flags didn't have anything to do with lawn care, but it had everything in the world to do with restraint. And what those little white flags did was mark the perimeter of their property, and it let their dog know that there is something under the ground there that if they go beyond that those little white flags, it would experience a slight correction. Well, that's sometimes how the Spirit of the Lord works in your and my life. He is our beautiful restrainer. Amen. And He lets us know when we're going in the wrong direction if we'll listen to Him. Now, that dog proceeds to go on beyond its sight of those little white flags, it's hard telling what's liable to happen, especially on a rainy day. I mean, he's liable to get hit pretty hard. And this particular dog, where we was working, putting in some cabinets, the owner of the house had a big old German Shepherd, and he said it was just a pup, but it was pretty good size, wasn't it? And he had a cage in his garage, and that cage was built out of pretty solid wire. But every time I would go into that garage to pick up another cabinet, that dog, I never could get it to settle down. Every time I'd get near that cage to do something, it would start roaring out and barking and carrying on, and I never did get used. I was edgy the whole time. I would pick up cabinets, and I was so close to that cage, I could feel that dog's hot breath on my hand as he was barking and gnawing at those wires. And I was glad that there was a restraint between he and I. And I told Brother Jerry the other day, I said, I'm glad he's in that cage, because if he was out, one of us would go at it. I'll tell you what, that's the way some people view sin and view things that they ought not to be involving themselves in. They say, if I can handle this thing, I can take this thing, and there's no need for any type of restraint. But I want to let you know, you cannot handle the effects of sin and the effects of messing in this world and playing in this world. This world is full of corruption, and this world is full of vice. But I want to let you know, we have a beautiful restrainer that teaches us and guides us and keeps us on the right way. Amen. Keeps us going in the way we ought to be going. What would you do if you didn't have the beautiful restrainer working in your life? Well, those little white flags just let that dog know, hey, this is far enough. And let him know visually, because he's been close to it enough that every time he gets near that thing or over top that thing, he gets a little shock. But I'm glad that the restrainer works in our life and lets us know this is the way to go. Walk ye in it. This is the path that we need to go in. And He reminds us of the written Word that tells us which way we ought to go. Amen. The Word and the Spirit, they work together. They work hand in hand. One doesn't contradict the other. One does not override the other. But the Word working in our hearts and the Spirit of God reminding us what the Word of God says. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful combination when you've got the Spirit of truth working in your heart. Amen. Anytime that truth is suppressed, a lie has an opportunity in your life. You cannot suppress the truth, but what a lie must take its place. Amen. Any time that the Spirit of God quickens something to your heart, any time that the Word of God is preached, we cannot just shut our ears to it and walk away. We're responsible to do something with it. And if a person will suppress the truth, a lie must take its place. And for every lie, there must be consequences that has to be paid. Amen. Doctors will tell you this, that when people that have went through things and need to be dealing with things emotionally in their life, whether it's a spirit of unforgiveness or there's some type of guilt in their life, that leads to a physical problem usually in their heart and in their life. Something happens in their body because they have suppressed the truth. Amen. But this Spirit of truth will keep us clean. He'll keep us walking in the way that we need to walk and doing the things that we need to do and talking the talk that we need to talk. Amen. The Spirit of truth working in our life. What a beautiful restrainer. Well, the Bible gives us several examples of other restraints. In Romans 13, it says that the government is a restraint. Amen. The government, the laws that we have, for the most part, some of them are kind of crazy, but for the most part, the laws that we have in this government restrains evil to some degree. Amen. The church also is a restraint. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That's one of the very few places that the church is spoken of in the male gender is when it says, "when he be taken out of the way," speaking of the church. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Talking about the influence of the body of Christ. Talking about the influence of the church. You think it's bad now, brother. You think it's bad now, sister. Wait till the church is taken out of the way. It says, he who now letteth, or who hindereth, or who restrains, when he is taken out of the way, all restraint is going to be lifted. And I would not want to be a hypocrite being left on planet earth when the church is taken out of the way. Because I want to let you know who they're going to go after first. They're going to go after anybody who identifies himself with being a Christian, whether they be backslidden or not. They're going to identify, hey, I remember seeing that person going down the road and making a turn and pulling into that parking lot, and they seem to act like a Christian at times. But I want to let you know something. When the church is gone, when that restraint is gone, it's all going to break loose, and the forces of evil are going to be on this earth. But thank God that right now the Spirit of God is with us, and we are a restraint to this world, to the evil that's in this world. The church ought to be a restraint to evil. The body of Christ ought to be a restraint to evil. We are to be, and I'm not saying to be so involved with things in society and in government that you cannot keep a level head and a balance and know what the will of God is in your life, but we need to be at the point to where we influence this society for the body of Christ. We really do. We need to be able to influence this world for Christ. Amen. Many of the laws that are written were written by those years gone by who were Christians, who knew the Lord, who were intelligent enough to foresee into the future a little bit and see what would happen if certain things were taken out of the way. Yeah. Amen. Thank God that God has allowed us to take part in this restraining process. But the Spirit of God is our restraint. Amen. It's this thing that the world cannot have. The world cannot know. And the world judges according to fleshly judgment and according to sensual knowledge. But the Lord allows the Spirit of God to live and to dwell within us to keep us walking on the right path and keep us doing the right things. And if we'll listen to Him, that's the key. Many times the Lord speaks to us in such a soft, gentle voice, and we'll negotiate with Him, and we'll reason things out, and we'll allow our emotions to be doing the negotiating or take the place of what we've already been learned and by the Word of God within our mind. And we'll let our emotions take the place of reason, and we'll find ourselves in a very bad strait because we didn't listen to the Spirit of God, the beautiful restrainer. Oh, I'm glad for restraint. I told you probably a couple of times before about our little neighbor that lived next door when we lived in that trailer park, little Josh, and he was running up and down the roads just maybe 2 or 3 years old, and running up and down the street and playing and carrying on, and visibility was very bad, but he would dodge in and out of cars until I'd hear his mother call for him, Josh, where you at? Where you at, Josh? And he had come running home, and I remember one evening or one morning I woke up real early in the morning. I was working third shift in that factory, and I heard a clang, 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 and it just, you know, constantly just kind of jarred me out of my sleep, and I reached up and looked out the window, and there was Josh's grandpa and Josh's daddy. They were taking a post driver and driving those posts down into the ground. Clang, clang, clang. And what they were doing was they was building a fence around the perimeter of their yard. Josh had no idea what was about to take place, but when I came back the next day, I saw him sitting there with his face in his hands, and he's sitting there on the porch like this. Now, Josh had every toy possible that he could have played with in that yard. And he's just a little fella, so a little portion of a lot of land seemed like 10 acres to him. He had everything in the world that he ever wanted. Every toy imaginable he had right there within the restraints of that fence. But I asked him, I said, how you like that fence, Josh? And he said, I hate it. And that's the way a lot of people think about the restraints that the Word of God may put on us. That's the way a lot of people think about the restraints that the Holy Ghost will put upon us. Not knowing that they're for our good. Not knowing that this restraint is for the best benefit of our life. You know, the Bible tells us that the family is a restraint to us. That marriage is a restraint to us. That people in authority are a restraint to us. The pastor sometimes can be a restraint to us. And people that resist restraint are absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid. I know we live in the world where we have rights to do this and rights to do that. And I'll be honest with you, we have way too many rights in certain areas. But it's the Spirit of God and it's the Word of God that allows restraint to be placed on our life because He loves us. See, Joshua was so young, he didn't understand that his parents put up that fence around there because they loved him. and they wanted to protect him, and they wanted something to be able to restrain him when they took their eyes off of him. Now, he could have got out of that fence, I think, if he would have really, really wanted to. He could have climbed over it. He could have dug his way through it. He could have ate his way through it, probably. But that's the way people are. The pastor will preach on a situation, or an evangelist will preach on a topic or a situation, and it begins to hit our hearts, and we begin to feel that there's a restraint being built around us, a barricade being built around us, and we want to run up against it, or we want to dig our way around it. We want to go through it. We'll chew our way through it if we have to. But that restraint is there, and it's beautiful, because it protects us from doing wrong.
Right.
It protects us from getting into something we ought not to get into.
That's right,
amen. And sometimes He uses folks to line us up sometimes and say, look, we need to do better. And that's what the Holy Ghost will do sometimes. Now, I appreciate all the benefits of the Holy Ghost. I appreciate how He's our teacher and He can lead us through the Word of God. I appreciate that comfort that He gives to us when nobody else knows just what to say, and the Holy Ghost to comfort you. And I'm glad for that time when we can pray in the Spirit and that just overpowers us and we can feel His presence. But I'm also glad for that time that we don't feel a single thing and we have to walk completely by faith without feeling another thing. And we may go for months without feeling the Lord. I told Brother Crawford one time, I said, Brother Crawford, I feel like the Lord is so far away. But you know what? The beautiful restrainer was right there leading me and guiding me as long as I walked gently before Him, and He led me through the valley that I was in. Thank God for the beautiful restrainer. Don't reject restraint when it's being preached, when it's being taught. Let the beautiful restrainer do His work in your life. Because every time that you suppress the truth, you're opening a door for a lie.
Right. Amen.
And none of us want to pay the consequences of the lie. None of us really know. Got a brother that very close to, and I remember he was backslidden, and I was working on a job, and he was working outside. I was working on the interior crew. He was working outside setting steel, and his wife had left him. He was in a bad situation. He was losing weight, all the effects that go with that, and those folks that have been through that only probably can understand that. But he was losing weight. He was sick. He went from a big, healthy, robust fella to just looking bad, just looking sickly, and working out there on that job. And I began to really get a burden for him and really begin to pray for him. And I told him one day, I said, Kirk, you don't think it'll ever get any worse than what it is, but it can, and it will, unless you turn your heart over to the Lord.
Yeah.
And just continued to pray for him. And he came one night to the service, and he prayed and he made things right. And there were some things that because of his life in sin, he was having to pay. He was going to have to pay for. There were some consequences with the law that he was going to have to face. And he said, "It's all right. I've got peace with God. I'm ready to accept whatever it has to happen. I'm just glad that I made it. I'm glad that I made it right with God." But it wasn't too much later. It wasn't too far down the road later when he got his eyes off the Lord a little bit and began to court another person within the church who was also in the similar situation.